God's good, isn't He? You ready for the Word? Mark chapter 11. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Have you got it? Mark chapter 11, verse 22, And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. He says, For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, everybody say me, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now we're on this verse a whole lot. This verse is actually, to those that are in, you know, charismania, those that are in any kind of faith teaching, this verse is really titled Hagin chapter 11, verse 23 and verse 24. Because Kenneth Hagin preached this message everywhere he went. And if it's good enough for Kenneth Hagin, it's good enough for us. And we will keep bringing this verse out time and time again. Please don't go tired of this verse, because it's on this passage that really all the rest of the gospel hangs. Your ability to live by faith, your ability to live victorious, is understanding there's power in your words if you believe what you say. The Bible says the just shall live by faith, and that passage, the just shall live by faith, appears four times in Scripture. And it's connected to the glory of God being manifested. Habakkuk chapter 2 talks about people of glory, the earth being filled with glory. And it says it's those that live by faith, the just that live by faith. And so this passage talks about faith, and it's spoken by Jesus. I am convinced Jesus never lied. You follow me? I'm not sure he could. Because if he did, he'd probably just change everything to align with what he said. Amen. He had such a high level of faith. If he said the pig had 6 feet, look out, there's a six-footed pig somewhere. Amen. We are those that are called to do the supernatural through the principles and power of faith. I tell you what, I have clear utterance tonight in Jesus' name. Satan, come off of my tongue. We are to live by faith. So don't grow weary of hearing this verse. Well, I've heard that again. He's going to preach that again. We're going to preach until we have a hold of it. Then once we have a hold of it, we'll keep preaching it to reinforce it. Amen? Because this is one you need to get down and you need to realize you have power. If you're a child of God, and you are if you're born again, you have been given all power and all authority. You have rights in the kingdom of God, and that power and those rights are activated by speech. Amen. So what we as children of the kingdom of God have to learn how to do is learn how to utilize the principles of faith. Faith connects our life circumstances to God's heavenly provision. And words of faith are able to extract God's provision out of that realm and bring it into your life's needs. Whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe, that's faith, that you have it, and it shall be manifested in your life. Now, one of the problems with faith is usually from the time you say, I believe, I receive it, till there it is, there's a time span. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 says, It's through faith and patience we inherit the promises. If it didn't require a time span between you speaking it and seeing it, you wouldn't need any patience. So patience is proof that there's usually time passes between you saying it and you having it. Amen? But when you say it, a process is put in motion to reverse the momentum of the circumstances in your life to bring what you need, you know, into your life. And so we've got to be those who learn how to stand in patience. Now, we keep teaching on faith, you know, week after week, and we keep having to go through a lot of the introductory statements because there's always new people in the church. lot of times we'll spend the first 15 minutes just reviewing what faith is, why we need faith, because if you just jump into talking about the principles of faith, you lose people. So don't get tired of the reviews either. Amen? Just say, I need that. I'm going to get it this time. It's going to be reinforced to me stronger than ever before. But I've written down a brief declaration of what faith is, or description of faith. Amen? That I'm going to try to quote on a routine basis. Faith believes and speaks what God has said above all else, and is willing to act on God's word, cast down all opposing circumstances and connected voices, stays fueled and praises God for the victory, and stands unwaveringly unto the manifestation. Shall I read that again? I try to just encompass the key aspects of faith, of walking by faith, in this one statement. Faith believes. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing. Faith believes and speaks what God has said above all else, and is willing to act on what God has said, is willing to act on God's word and cast down all opposing circumstances and voices connected to it. In other words, whatever your circumstance says, you will cast down that voice in favor of what the Word of God says. It stays fueled. You just don't use your faith one time. You fuel your faith. You feed your faith. You maintain your faith. You don't let your tank go empty. If your tank gets empty, you will start neutralizing your faith. You'll start cursing what you believe you receive. Amen? You'll speak the curse instead of the blessing. It stays fueled and praises God for the victory and stands unwaveringly unto the manifestation. So, to describe a faith, individual faith act, you find a promise in the Word of God, you build your faith towards it. You meditate that promise till you believe what the Word says. The Word moves from your head down into your heart, and all of a sudden the faith connection is made, and you know that promise is for you. Then you activate the promise of God by speaking that word. Quoting the verse, personalizing the verse, declaring according to the Word of God what the Word says you have. And of course, this verse Jesus spoke puts it into the context of whatsoever. Amen. Jesus said, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe, and you shall have it. So when we say, you know, confessing into your life what you desire, it's under the category of whatsoever. Unless whatsoever you believe is contrary to the Word of God. Did you follow that? Or even to the will of God? You must know the will of God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And so you can't be confessing that you have somebody else's house unless God's told you that's your house. Or somebody else's car, even somebody else's spouse. Amen. Faith finds the will of God, finds out what the desires you have or the needs you have are, understanding they have to be in alignment with the will of God and the Word of God. And then faith is released by speaking what you desire, speaking the promise of God, and then setting yourself for the battle until you see the manifestation. Amen. If I could draw a picture for you, as if you had the Roman soldier here. The Roman soldier has a need. And he says, in Jesus' name, I believe I receive. And he describes what he needs, and then he goes and shields up. You follow me? Spear in hand or sword or whatever. Because once he said, I believe I receive, now he knows the battle is on. You're not going to say, I believe I receive, and not have a confrontation, because Satan knows if God's people ever get a hold of the principles of faith, he is finished. His kingdom is bankrupted and he is done. Amen. So he confronts faith. That's why once you say, I'm going to live by faith, you are declaring that you're ready to lock horns with darkness. You're saying, I'm willing to battle. I'm willing to be a warrior for God. So many people bail out on faith. They bail out of a faith church because they grow weary of the battle, or they're afraid of the battle. They really don't believe they'll win. So what do? They go to a church where there's no faith being preached, and where no faith is being preached, there is no confrontation or no really high-level spiritual battle. Then all you battle is just trying to overcome the curse. Because once you set faith aside, now the curse is, your life is opened up to the curse. Because it's the shield of, let's try that again, shield of faith. Shield of faith. So if you set aside a life of faith, you have no shield. So you go to a faithless church, or a church where they're not preaching to you or teaching you how to live by faith. Guess what? Every time the enemy wants to stick you with a fiery dart, you're wide open. You have no defense against it. The problem is, he's just no reason to stick you. You're already defeated. When you go to a dead church, when you go and, you know, put your life under a dead ministry and you're not learning how to advance, not learning how to exercise supernatural rights, then what happens is you are no longer a threat to the enemy because he has power over all of your natural ability. So why bother to stick you? Amen. But understand, when you say, I'm going to learn to live by faith, you're declaring war on the devil. The good news is, Jesus says, he's given you all authority. He's given you authority over snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm you, right? So we have power, we have authority, we have a guaranteed victory. John said, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. But understand, once you said, I believe, I receive, you'll have to set your foot down and say, okay, and I'm not moving until I have it. You will never win a spiritual victory backing up. I believe, I receive. Then why are you backing up? Backing up on your confession, backing up on what you believed you received, backing up on, you know, your involvement or your fueling or whatever it might be. You got to say, I am not moving. We use the term taking a faith stand. Have you, anybody ever heard of the term faith stand, taking a faith stand? You know why you call it faith stand? Because once you said, I believe, I receive, you have to stand. You have to say, I'm not going to move. And standing requires that you believe, but it requires certain, how can I say, involvement in a process of manifestation. Standing requires that you keep speaking the promise. Standing requires you keep praising God for the manifestation, that you know that you have it. And standing requires that you cast down all opposing arguments. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Again, another passage we'll go to all the time. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. As soon as you start warring by flesh alone, you're already defeated. Amen. If you're not using the Word of God in your battle, you're warring after the flesh. If you're just trying to battle in your mind and say, no, I do believe I win, and you're not using the Word of God as a sword of the Spirit, you will lose that battle. Amen. Our weapons have to be spiritual. And our spiritual weapons all concern the Word of God. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You, of your own ability, have no way to pull down a stronghold. Strongholds are of a spiritual force. They're demonic in nature. Amen? Don't you wish there was sometimes you could just grab the devil or the demons by the throat and just squeeze them? There's one. Got him! Can't do it. Because your natural hand is not designed to apply force to a demonic enemy. The only weapon we have that can apply force to a demonic enemy is the Word of God, activated by somebody walking in the authority of the Spirit. Satan's not even afraid of the Word of God with somebody that doesn't know their authority, or somebody hasn't developed an anointing. You know, the seven sons of Sceva go into place and trying to cast out devils. The devil jumps on the guy, strips him all naked, and runs him out of the house. You know, he says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, they had an anointing. But who are you? They were there trying to pull down strongholds with natural ability. You know, just speaking words of no authority. Just quoted words versus developed anointing, developed faith, developed realization of their authority. So the weapons of our warfare are not natural, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, I believe strongholds represent a few things. One, a stronghold is any area of your thinking that, you know, is blocking you receiving the Word of God. You've been taught all your life speaking in tongues is of the devil. So you believe that. So when you hear somebody talking about, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you just block it because there's a stronghold there. Amen? And the Word of God has the ability to pull that out. Speak the Word and watch that thing come down. But I believe there's also strongholds over cities. Establish our principalities. Amen? There are cities that are fortified in certain areas, and we have the ability to pull those down. Amen? Not so much by saying, in Jesus' name, I pull down the spirit of compromise over Georgetown, the spirit of religion. It's more by speaking the Word of God into manifestation that they're displaced. They're driven out. The glory of God rises to a level they can't stay. But we have authority to take down all strongholds of the enemy. Amen. Jesus said this when they accused him of casting out devils by Beelzebub. He says, you cannot spoil the strong man until you bind him. Amen. You can't spoil his house until you take care of him. Well, see, I believe in these end times, God is increasing the anointing, increasing the glory to the point strong men are scattered, and we're able just to reap that area, that region. Amen? And so, our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, understand, we've talked about this many times, but the primary area that you will lose spiritual warfare in is in your mind. And what it's talking about is when you believe you receive, the enemy's going to attack you in your thought life. In your emotions, he's going to say, you can't have that. He's going to say, there's no way you can win that battle. Amen? There's no way that God's going to bring that to you. No way your faith's going to work. Who do you think you are? Amen. And to stand in faith, you must become an efficient caster downer. How's that for Kentucky ease? You must become an efficient caster downer. You must be able to cast down any thoughts, any mental arguments that want to take up residence in your thinking that oppose what you believe you receive. And the enemy's always going to, he's always going to counterfeit them or camouflage them as your thoughts or God's voice. Amen. You know, you believe you receive a new car or just a car. Amen. But you've described it, right? Because you want to be specific. Car that runs, a car, you know. You believe you receive this car. And here comes the enemy that says, I am God. And you've not prayed long enough, not been to church long enough to earn the rights to a car. Oh God, how long must I go? 20 years. In 20 years you can have a car. That's the devil counterfeiting God's voice. And you got to recognize whose voice you're hearing. Amen. Based on whether you have peace in here or whether it agrees with the Word of God. And of course, God wants you to have a car. So you say, in Jesus' name, I bind it and I cast that down in Jesus' name. I don't receive that. So another voice comes up and says, who do you think you are that you could even deserve a car? Remember when you broke that fast? Remember when you sinned way back? Remember all those times you lost your temper? Yeah. I need a car. I thought I was going to get a car. Well, you bought into an argument. So what do? You have to recognize that's not who God says I am. The Word of God says I'm forgiven and I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm holy. I'm a saint before God. In Jesus' name, I still believe I received that car. Get thee behind me. I cast you down, Satan, in Jesus' name. What are you doing? You're casting down opposing arguments. Amen. And if you've done this very long, you know the devil doesn't stop with one attempt. He'll remind you 40 things in a row you did in your past, hoping you'll buy into one of them. Amen. He will let you know of your lack of spirituality time and time again. He'll use the scriptures against you if you'll buy into it. Amen. And you have to cast those down. And of course, he always says your faith isn't strong enough. He always says, not today. It's always tomorrow. One of the devil's favorite words is tomorrow. Later. You can have it later. So to become an efficient spiritual warfare, you learn to filter the thoughts coming in. Whatever is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, full of virtue and praise. You filter your thoughts and then you cast down what is not in alignment with the full word of God. And you become an efficient caster downer. Because you will never be victorious in faith at any high level without being able to filter your thoughts. You will never be effective at walking in the power of God unless you can recognize every thought coming to you and say, where's this coming from? What's the motivation for it? And what am I going to do with it? And you grab the thoughts, bringing every thought into captivity. See, this to me used to sound impossible. Because my mind was a playground for everything that came to it. I don't know what your mind was. I mean, I'd go on trips, understand I was, single so many years. So when I'd go on a trip, I went by myself most of the time. I didn't have a spouse that would keep me occupied and talk to me all the way. And we're still pretty silent. And I learned to use my imagination to go into dreams or role plays or fantasies or whatever of some sort, playing for the Reds or football for Tennessee. And if I could get my mind to go into some, thought, imagination way out there, then I'd look up and I'd gone 50 miles. And it wasn't so boring. Driving to me is boring if I've been that route before. Amen? If I've been some way several times, it's like, are we ever going to get there? My wife's the same way. And so I would let my mind just drift, run, wander before I was saved. Then I get saved and God says, bring every thought captive. I'm going to do what? You don't know the power of this mind, God. You don't know how much is capacity it has to go out there. And God says, no, learn to start examining what you're thinking about. Learn to back off of your... See, this mind is your conception area. It's where you come up with concepts, where you come up with ideas. And you can actually pull back from that area as an observer, as a third-person observer, and watch what's going on inside your thinking. Don't lose anybody on that one. And you can examine what's going through your head. Like right now, try it. What's going on in your head right now? You know. You have the ability to pull back and examine what's going through your mind and examine, is this of God? Does it line up with the Word of God? Is it edifying to my life? And if it's not, grab a hold of it forcefully and say, I cast that down. And refuse to think on it anymore. And of course, you are designed to not be able to speak and think at the same time. Do you know that? You can't speak and think at the same time. Not at any great level. Now you might be able to pray in tongues and think at the same time. Was somebody thinking that already? See, I got you. You can pray in tongues and think, but if I ask you right now to close your eyes, now I want you to count to 10 when I tell you. Count to 10 in your head, and when I say your name, I want you to say your name. All right. Count to 10. Say your name. What happened to your counting? It stopped. You're designed to be able to interrupt thought process, thought attacks, by speaking. You have the ability to say, I cast it down, and I cast it out right there, stops the thought process. Or quote the Word of God. You quoting the Word of God stops the thought attack. And there may be times you have to spend 30 minutes saying, I cast that down. The Word of God says to disrupt or dislodge a major assault. Now, most of the time, it's just, I cast that down. You know, the devil put some thought in your head about, you know, failure or quitting or, you know, something not happening. I cast that down. And it's broken right there. In most cases, it's broken right there. But the Bible says there's times that the powers of darkness come in like a flood. Yeah. Amen? Anybody ever been under a demonic flood of thoughts? Emotions and thoughts? And that's when you got to just say, hey, it's time to stand. Soon as you can, if it's your break time or whatever, you get over and you say, okay, devil, mean you're going to lock horns right now. I cast those thoughts down. And you start confessing every verse you can think on the promise of God. Have a verse written down if you need to. And you speak those verses until the assault stops. Did you follow me? And it will stop. The Word of God has power over the devil. And if you hold up the shield and you stick him with the sword, which is the Word of God, he will quit. Just sometimes it's going to take some time to keep doing it. And so my life is a life of casting down. My wife will tell you I'm casting down all the time. She used to get bothered by it. Be driving her own. I'd say, I cast that down. What were you thinking? Nothing. If I'm casting down, why am I going to repeat it to you? Was it about me? Yeah, but I cast that down. Now you really got her, amen? And so I'll be going through the store. I don't receive that. Cast that down. Cast that down. Cast that down. Cast that down. Nope. 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 That's usually, I don't even say cast it anymore. I just say nope. 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 Through the house. I'm talking about this is a daily lifestyle. Nope. Because the enemy's throwing barbs at you all the time. Seeing if he can sneak in there. He's a sneak. When it says he's laying snares, amen? He's sneaking looking for a thought he can throw at you. He'll catch you unexpectedly. Catch you when you're down. Catch you when you're frustrated and throw that thought at you. You know, the remote control doesn't work. And all of a sudden, as you get the remote control, I might have to get up off the couch. Change the TV. And you get frustrated over, I know, this must be a word of knowledge for somebody. Amen. Remote's not working, get frustrated, and then all of a sudden the devil says, and you don't like your life at all. Just throws it in there. I went from remote control to hating my life. Nothing goes right. Everything's going wrong. Hate my job. Hate my life. Hate my pastor. You better cast that down, I'm telling you. Devil done gone too far now, amen. Yeah. They've gone too far. I'm going to cut you. And he tries to sneak in and slip in and throw that thought at you, hoping he'll find an opening that you'll accept it. Catch you in a down or frustrated moment when your tank's a little low and get you to buy into it. And all of a sudden you start thinking about it. Yeah, you're right. Nobody does like me. Everybody hates me. Might as well eat worms. I'm quitting church. I'm quitting life. Quitting my job. Quitting my marriage. Quitting my kids. See, my kids don't like me. I hate my life. Hate my life. Did you ever hear yourself saying you hate your life? It probably started with the remote control not working. You seen those commercials, right, where they got the commercials where, you know, starts off, the credit card doesn't work or whatever, you know, and next thing you know, you're in a ditch beat up and, you know, It's amazing what happens when the remote control doesn't work. And so you got to be able to capture your thoughts in those moments saying, no! Father, I repent for getting frustrated with the remote, and my life is wonderful, and I praise you for blessing me in every area of my life, especially my pastor. Amen. Take that, devil. You're casting down. And you cast down until you get the last word, because the last word wins. You know, I heard Pastor Philip Gerber preach this years, I mean nearly 20 years ago. And do you remember as kids when you get into argument? And you say something like, you're ugly, you're uglier. No, you're uglier than I am. You're uglier than I am. You're uglier than I am times 10. You're uglier than I am times 1,000. I know you are, but what am I? And you couldn't stop until you got the last barb in. You may know what I'm talking about. Couldn't stop. That movie, anybody ever see that movie, The Sandlot? My favorite scene in the whole movie is where they're at the ball field with the other team. You know, the kids' team, and they're cussing each other out. Someone, you know, you're lower than a dog. You're scum. You know, you're not the scum between my toes or whatever, you know. Finally, one of them says, you play ball like a girl. It's on! Shut down the whole argument right there. That was the lowest statement you could make. Amen? I've seen some girls play some pretty good ball. What happened? He got the last word. He won the argument. He got the last word. And you, in battle with the demonic, have to get the last word. Because the last word takes up residence in your conception area. The last word is what you'll continue to meditate on. See, if, again, close your eyes. Let's try an experiment here. Think about what I said. Green, pink, blue, purple, orange. You're stuck on orange. Amen. Don't be trying to go back to blue. You're stuck on orange. It's just rebellion is all that is. This is an interesting service tonight, is all I can say. Whatever you hear last is what you're stuck with. Amen? The image created last is the one you'll continue to think on. You know, in those old days, if I was doing a role play and I was playing for Tennessee or the Reds or, you know, or you know, whatever team or whatever activity, I might go through 4 or 5 things, oh, let's think about this, and the last one I come up on, okay, that's the one I'm going to think about for a while. Amen? In the same way, when you're in a battle with demonic voices, you have to be the last one to impart an image in your thinking. You have to be the last one to control the battleground. Because he that takes the battleground wins the spoils. And the devil takes over your thought process and he imparts to you his images, his mindsets, his attitudes, you will come out of it defeated. You'll end up neutralizing your faith, cursing what you said you thought you believed. Amen? And this sounds kind of far-fetched, but let me give you an example of how it happens. Let's say that, you know, you wake up one day and there's symptoms in your body, there's pain there. You know, pain in your arm, your leg, your stomach, or whatever, pain in your head. And you remember the sermons about God's already declared you healed. He's already provided healing. So you say, in Jesus' name, I'm healed. And you're going through the day, in Jesus' name, I'm healed. Devil comes at you, you're going to die. I'm healed in Jesus' name. By His stripes, I'm healed. Send His word and heal me. Deliver me from all destruction. Quoting these verses, you go all the way through. Then you get to work, and all of a sudden the boss says, I need these reports right away. If I don't have them in 30 minutes, you're fired. You can't find this stuff going through all this, you know, the stuff. And your mind's getting caught up in this other battle. And the devil sneaks in and says, and you're going to die too. And you don't cast it down. by the time the day is done, you'll be saying, I thought I was healed. Didn't work. Worst day I've ever had. Everything went wrong at work. And not only that, I'm going to die too. You may know what I'm talking about. What happened? A low point hit that you didn't control the battlefield, and you stopped your faith from working. The enemy will mess up your day if he has to get you off of casting down or to get you at a low point that you'll quit trying to battle. Hopelessness stops you from battling. Being tired stops you from battling. To stand, you must stay fueled up. Amen. And make sure you always get that last word. Let's look at a few verses here to deal with this. You get anything out of this? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Now, quit you there doesn't mean to quit. Quit means to act like. Stand in faith, be strong, act like men. Now, if you're a woman, it still applies to you. Just means act like a victor. Act like somebody that's going to win. Act like a warrior. Stand fast in the faith. Now here's the interesting thing. It says stand fast in the faith. We're going to see this repeated over and over again. In fact, let's look at another verse that deals with it, and then I'll come back to this point. Romans chapter 5. Verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It says we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. We stand by faith on behalf of our faith. We stand by faith on behalf of our faith. See, when you say, I believe, I receive, you're releasing your faith for a specific promise. You follow me on that? So you release your faith. But you have to also have faith that the principles of God always work. Did you follow me? You have to have faith that the principles of faith work. And so when you're standing in faith, you have to use your faith that faith works. Did I lose you on that? Kenneth Hagin wrote a book years ago that the religious community had a fit over. It was called having faith in your faith. Having faith in your faith. In other words, you believe faith works. So when you say, I believe I am healed, you have to stand on that promise of healing, knowing that declarations of faith produce. In other words, you're believing you're healed goes back to Mark chapter 11, 23 and 24, where Jesus said, whatsoever you pray when you believe, whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. So you have to believe faith works to keep your faith intact. So when you're standing by faith for a specific promise, not only will the devil attack you in the realm of whether you can have that promise, he'll attack you where the faith really works. Do you know what I'm talking about? He's going to attack you from two sides. Who do you think you are that you can be healed. Remember all that chocolate cake you ate? Remember all that chocolate ice cream you ate? Chocolate milkshakes, chocolate candy bars, M&Ms. Sound like the voice of condemnation, don't I? Chocolate donuts, yeah. He'll remind you of all the reasons you shouldn't be healed. Then he'll also say, what makes you think faith even works? Remember sister such and such? She believed and she died. Remember that other man? He gave away everything he had and he went broke, went bankrupt. Their faith didn't work. What makes you think faith's going to work for you? So to stand, you not only have to maintain your faith in the promise that you're believing God for, but you also have to believe that faith works overall anyway. That's why hearing testimonies are so valuable to us. Because when I hear people give testimonies of faith, when I hear John Paul give his testimonies, amen, Pastor Callan give his testimonies, whoever give their testimonies, and I hear what they did by faith, my faith is supercharged because it amplifies my standing ability. It amplifies my knowing faith always works. I've been in faith now for 25 years as far as being taught faith. Met Pastor Callan in 1987, 25 years ago. Started teaching his faith. And I can honestly say I don't know of a single time that I have not seen faith produce in my life. When I took a genuine stand of faith, I've never seen it fail. Now, there's some things that haven't manifested yet. Maybe some things I cursed or I didn't hold to my faith. But where there was a deep down knowing, I believe I receive, and I stood on what God said, it has always come through. In the area of physical healing, miracle healing, in the area of finances, in the area of my marriage, whatever, it's always worked. Because faith is a law. It's a law of faith. And you must believe what Jesus said. That's why we keep going back to it. We must believe what Jesus said. When you pray, if you believe and you stand, you will have it. Because if you doubt that you can have what you say, you won't stand for it. If you won't stand for what you believe you received, you won't make it until the manifestation. You must believe it to the point that you know you have it. Amen. Now the question always arises, how long does it take from the point I say I believe I receive until I have it? I believe there are several factors involved in that. One is, how big a mountain are you removing? How big is the obstacle? And I tell people they want to come in and start to live by faith, and they say, I believe for a new Cadillac. No, Cadillac's too small. I believe for a Bentley or a Mercedes. And I believe for a 20,000 square foot house overlooking the town. And I believe for $10 million to boot. And you don't even have a Volkswagen you're driving right now. You're taking too big a bite of faith off. Now, you can say you believe you received that, but it might be 300 years before your faith is able to access it. And you don't have much time. Amen. You'll be up in heaven, 250 years later saying, I believe I receive, and somebody else down here will get it. You were there to receive it, right? And so learn to bite off what your faith is ready to receive. Learn to take smaller steps to receive something that you can see manifested in a quicker rate, because the bigger the promise, in most cases, the longer it's going to take to manifest. Second question is, how big's your faith? There are people with mountain mood and faith. They believe they've received. They'll see the mountain mood in a few days. Jesus cursed the tree. It was dead the next, it was dried up the next day, right? Great faith. But if your faith is small, then start small. And one of the neat things it talks about in Romans chapter 5 is part of the cycle of faith is you develop experience. And the more experience you have, the more inner testimony you have that faith works and the bigger things you can believe for. Amen. So learn to believe for a bunch of small things. Keep that faith operating until you have it and let your faith develop. Amen. And so, how big's your faith? How big's the mountain? How much are you fueling yourself? How much opposition is there trying to stop you? Because that's going to determine the size of the battle. Something else I was about to say, and it's very important. Oh, and how determined are you? How strong is your faith connection in there? Kenneth Hagin again made this statement when he was alive. He says, when you're believing you receive something, if you're willing to stand forever, it won't take very long. But if you show signs of wavering, show signs of apathy towards what you're believing for, like it's really not that important if you get it. You have 47 plan Bs, which means you really don't believe. Then it may take so long you'll quit standing. Believe you receive, and then don't move till you have it, and cast down every opposing thought. You must learn to live in the lifestyle of, I don't receive it. That's not my thought. I cast that down. Nope, 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 nope. I go through Kroger's. Nope, 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 nope. Now see what I do. If you take a yo-yo and you drop the yo-yo, it'll go down. It'll spring back up a ways. And you know, if you jerk it right, it'll come back up in your hand. You can keep going, right? But if you just hold your hand still, it's going to go up and down, up, down, up, down, and finally die out at the bottom. Well, that's how the casting out process is a lot of times. A thought comes into your mind and you go, nope, I don't receive that. And when you stop speaking, you see if it's still there. I mean, is it still right there? You know, trying to, you know, root in. Alien thought. Doom, doom, doom. And so you recognize, okay, is that thought still there? Is it still plaguing me? I cast that down. You cast down again. Psh! See if it comes back up. And you keep casting down until that thing winds down and it's not there anymore. Don't cast down with the right hand. Don't cast down, stop when it's right there. Get it when it's on the ground. Stomp it 3 or 4 times. Amen. And speak the word, say, and he'll never rise up and bother me again in Jesus' name. Cast down until you have your whole mind cleared of that thought process. Enemy gives you an image of failing, you know. Well, you're going to get fired, you're going to lose that job, or nobody's, you know. I'm sure Robert, I'll use him as an example. I don't know what went through his mind, but I'll use him as an example anyway. With the drought this summer, praise God for rain. Amen. Get to cut grass when it rains, right? Lawn mowing service, it's not raining. So he's not mowing. So money's not coming in through that avenue. And I'm sure thoughts are hitting, you're going broke. What are you going to have to sell? Sell the mower. Sell the trailer. Sell the gas cans. Sell the kids. What do you got to do? You know, what do you got to get rid of to keep this business going? All these mindsets are hitting. All these thoughts got to be hitting. Okay, you're going under. What do you got to do? No, I cast that down. Rain cometh now in Jesus' name. Even without rains, my yards, I'm responsible for that grass still grows. Amen. Weeds grow, something grows, but there's something I got to mow. And you cast down all that you're going down, you're going broke, going to miss God. You know, I don't know what it was. I know he went through a battle, had to. But you still got the mower, right? So we know you passed the test at some level, right? Amen. Still got the kids? Is William still with you? So they came through it, and it's rained again. Guess what? He's mowing grass again. Money's coming again. What's going on? You cast it down. And you don't stop casting it down until those thoughts are dead. Till you go home and say, bless God, it's raining tomorrow, going to rain all day. Praise God, I'm mowing grass from now on. My lawns are going to triple as of this drought in Jesus. Do you follow me? Isaac sowed in famine and reaped a hundredfold. Drought. Milford Wright, he sowed and reaped a hundredfold. Why spoke the word? Have y'all seen that movie, Faith Like Potatoes? And the Australian man, oh, it's an awesome faith movie. Australian pastor, God told him to plant potatoes. Planted this huge field full of potatoes and it didn't rain all summer. There was nothing above ground. And I better stop right there or else I'll give away the movie. Oh, well, I already started. Goes out. God tells him to go bring in his harvest. There's no plants, nothing. And starts digging. And the ground's full of potatoes. They grew, big potatoes grew without a plant on top of the ground. Totally impossible. True story. Raise another boy from the dead. Faith. Faith declares what God has said as having power over what the circumstances say. And they had a party in that field. Nobody else had any potatoes come in, I'll guarantee you. But they had a harvest. We are called to stand until we see the manifestation. And you must believe that faith works to stand on what you're believing for. Which means you need to stay fueled. You need to stay fueled. Keep teachings of faith before you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but you are helpers, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. You receive by faith, and you stand by faith. You got to have your shield of faith up every which direction. Faith is not hard. It's just 100% time consuming. Do you follow me on that? Not that you got to be confessing and casting down 100% of the time, but you got to be on guard all the time. You got to be watching what's coming on your mind. Now listen, you don't have to all the time be looking at your mind and think, okay, what am I thinking now? What am I thinking now? What am I thinking now? You just have to have certain triggers in your mind. How can I say sentries in your mind set up when the wrong thoughts start coming in? It sounds an alarm. You got to have sentries set up that let you know when you're starting to think about failure, when you're starting to think about plan B, when you're starting to think about quitting. You start thinking about offense or unforgiveness. You got to have sentries up there and say, no, that's not in alignment with the Word of God. I don't receive that. And you stomp it into obliteration. And so a person that's moving ahead, and I'm trying not to make this sound too hard. This could be, sounding too strenuous tonight. I'm not trying to make it sound too hard. It's a process of learning and development. You learn to do this. You practice it. Because if you stay the same way you are, if we stay how we all have always been and we don't learn to control our thoughts, we'll always stay in the same situation. So you start where you're at and you start applying yourself. You know, the child goes to kindergarten, what do you expect him to do? Integral calculus first day. You wait 3 or 4 weeks for that. You start them off trying to recognize the numbers. Then you try to tell him how to put the numbers in order, then count. Then you start to add them and subtract them, multiply, divide. Until after 12 years, then you might start them off on calculus. Or earlier, I guess, in some situations. Amen? But you built up to it. In the same way, start where you're at. Start just learning the principles of faith. Amen. Build your faith. Recognize the need. Speak the promise. Act on faith. Cast down opposing arguments. Praise God unto the manifestation. Just let it become part of your way of thinking, your lifestyle, your mindset. So that you know when you feel down, you praise God. When you feel up, you praise God. When you feel your mind's under attack, you cast down, you get in the Word, you pray in tongues. Amen? You start shifting your life to move from a worldly way of operation into a kingdom way of operation. One piece at a time. And watch what God does. He's not a hard taskmaster if they're going saying, you're not ready, you didn't do your calculus yet. You've been in school now 3 years, you're in third grade, you're not doing calculus yet. I don't like that. He's a merciful God. Amen. A bruised reed he won't break. Smoking flax he won't quench. He's not going to put out your flame. He's going to encourage you to go further. Amen. And you may be 50 years old in the natural, but 3 years old in the spirit. And you may have a 10-year-old that's 40 years old in the spirit, as far as his understanding of the principles of faith. It's not based on chronological age. It's based on practicing age, application, experience. Well, I just can't do all that. See, you got the spirit of perfectionism then, that you want it all done now. Or you this competitive mindset that you like you're in a competition, and if I can't do it better than everybody else right now, I quit. Well, then you'll live defeated. This is not a competition. Amen. Scripture also says, we don't have time to go to the verse, but this is stand fast in one spirit. We're here to help each other stand in this situation. Pump each other up. Rebecca and I spend a very good portion of our time calling people in this church to encourage them. Well, you never called me. You may not have needed. Amen. Wouldn't discern that you needed her. God said, let them do work it out themselves. I don't know. But I've called most of you. But one time or another, just to say, God's had me on you on my heart. Just want to give you an encouraging word. Amen. You're the head and not the tail. Let's go on with this thing. So we're not here in a race to see who can build their faith the highest. The fastest. We're here to make sure everybody gets to the end goal. So don't think you have to be Mr. Powerhouse in faith first day. Pride goeth before fall. Cast that thing down. It's okay, God. Just be willing to sit before God and say, okay, God, here I am. Show me where my faith is. Show me what I need to do. Show me the program I can get on, the process I can go, get on to develop it. And don't set your own unrealistic program. Hope you all are receiving something out of this tonight. It's kind of extemporaneous tonight for the most part. In other words, well, I just think if I'm going to get where I want to be in spirit, I need to pray 16 hours a day and be in the Word 14 hours a day, and I need to go to church the other 27 hours a day. Well, you're up to about 50 hours now. What are you going to do? Just ask God, what should I be doing? And then target it. He'll probably stretch you enough as is, you won't be able to meet his targets. And then don't get condemned when you miss it. Say, well, God, I blew that one. Help me with it today. Take a step at a time. Maybe steps. The neat thing is what you're learning tonight, we didn't know 25 years ago. God's bringing forth progressive revelation of faith like never before. And He's got us on a fast track of development. There's so many areas we can receive the Word on a continual basis that we have no excuses not to grow. Amen. And just enjoy the process. Every day, I get to wake up and learn from God. And start right there. Every day, I get to see something new from God. Explore the river of God another step. And don't worry whether you covered the whole river in a day. Amen. You know, they have the reading programs, a lot of the Bibles we have here, you know, where it's read the Bible in a year. Anybody ever done a read the Bible in a year program? It's a pretty aggressive program. I mean, read the Bible in a year is pretty aggressive. Amen. If you want to do that, but don't get beat up if you miss a day. Oh no, I'm a year and a half behind schedule. Oh, I remember when I first got saved, I set me a reading program. And I was going to read, what was it? 10 chapters, 5 Psalms, and a proverb every day. That was my reading plan. I was still working full time, and you know, went in ministry. That was just my reading program. Most days I read a lot more than that. And when I first got saved, I was reading, you know, books at a time. But that was my daily plan. I'm going to read 10 chapters, 5 Psalms. Yeah, 5 Psalms means you read the Psalms through every month. 1 proverb, you read the Proverbs through every month, right? And a proverb. And I started doing it, and I got 3 or 4 days into it and missed a day. Now I had to read 20 chapters, 10 Psalms, and 2 Proverbs. Only got about a third of the way through it. Now I'm behind 25 chapters, 12 Psalms, you know, still all 3 Proverbs. And I started getting so condemned. Oh, God, please don't kick me out of heaven. Blot not my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, God, I've let you down. And I just haven't had time to get it all. Oh, God, please. I'm serious. And it occurred to me, start over. Set that as a target. But if you get behind, don't get beat up. Just start over this day with a new 10 chapters. You know, just read it the page you can. First thing it has that backs up on you. But see, I didn't know about casting down. So I had the devil saying, no, you cannot never. You get behind, you know, you fail the program. You may know what I'm talking about. Shut up, devil. My progress is none of your business except it has to do with how fast you're going to be spoiled and defeated. We must. It's not even optional. It's not even optional in these end times. As the world's collapsing around us, world economy's about to go into major recession, it is not optional whether or not we learn faith. It's whether or not we do learn faith. And I'm convinced those that learn faith will go through the hard times fully provided for. Amen. Supernaturally. What an awesome God we serve. So I want us to get these faith steps ingrained within us. Not memorized, but ingrained. Where if you know, I have never memorized the books of the Bible in order. But I can quote them. Because I spent so much time in them, I know them. Now I'd probably get to the minor prophets and get a couple of them, you know, backwards or something. But I mean, New Testament, no problem. Most of the Old Testament, no problem. And I've never tried to memorize them. It's just spending time in them. I have never memorized more than a few verses of Scripture in my life. Never. I've never sat down and said, okay, I'm going to memorize this passage of Scripture other than maybe 2 short passages. But I can quote Scripture all over the Word. Understand that, right? Why? Spent so much time in it. It gets ingrained in you. I want it to become ingrained in you, not knowing memorizing the steps of faith, but ingrained in you. This is the process. Let me take it through you again. Recognize the need. Find the promise. Build your faith in it. Speak the promise. Act on the promise. Stand on the word. Cast down all opposing arguments and praise God until you have the manifestation. And that having been through it, it becomes part of your understanding. That's how it works. That's just how it works. Any of you ladies ever make biscuits? Any guys? How many can make biscuits without looking at a recipe? Did you memorize the recipe? Some of you may have. You know what happened? You made biscuits so long you didn't look at the recipe anymore. How many use mayonnaise in their biscuits? Anybody? You didn't have to memorize it. You spent time where you've made it so many times. You know it. Right? My wife makes my favorite meatloaf on occasion. And anytime I want it, she'll make it for me. She doesn't look at the recipe anymore. After 30 years of making it, she knows how to make meatloaf, how I like it. Amen? Hint, hint. Faith lifestyle is the same way. You learn it by doing it, not by just hearing a tape. I want you to know the seven P's of 7 P's of faith by just understanding it versus memorized it. Right? Process, plan, provision, principle, promise, principle, power. Process. Just because it's part of the way you live. Let's worship God.